Hello, I'm Carol.
And I'm Susan. Welcome to Kickapoo Nightlife, a news magazine exploring our world after sunset, from the stars and planets above to fireflies, frogs, bats, insects, and birds, and humans too, and how we all benefit from darkness at night.
We'll explore the importance of dark nights and dark skies, and how we are all made to live in a world that is dark half of every day. We'll have news on how you can have effective, efficient, affordable lighting that also helps all the birds, bugs, and critters who, like us, need dark skies for health and well-being.
Today, we're taking you on a tour of the Sky Bar in downtown Tucson, Arizona, where the night comes alive with the beauty of the stars on the walls and ceilings of the Sky Bar and on the busy city street outside the door, where Star Tender and his friends take us on a tour of the sky with telescopes set up on the sidewalk. Keep listening for a unique nighttime city adventure. But first, here's the calendar of events for May. The Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative monthly meeting of the Board of Directors is Wednesday, May 7th at 6:30 p.m. Go to president@fordarkskies.org for the link to join the meeting. The Night Naturalists will take you on a stroll from sunset into the starry night on Tuesday, May 12th, following the weekly frog walk in the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. Meet at the south gate of the old 131 trail 15 minutes after sunset to join the frog walk. Then continue along the trail for stargazing and exploring the nightlife of the reserve. The Wisconsin Dark Sky Meeting is Wednesday, May 21st at 6:30 p.m. Go to wisconsin@darksky.org. for the link to the meeting. Find out what others are doing in Wisconsin to enjoy and protect our night sky.
Today's program is sponsored by our neighborhood songbirds, bringing the dawn chorus to brighten our mornings for countless generations. Songbirds of many species share each morning sunrise by joining together to sing in celebration of the new day. You are invited by all birds to open your window or go outside to listen as they begin singing their songs on spring mornings, welcoming a new day. After their dawn chorus, songbirds go to work taking care of our world by managing insect populations, dispersing plant seeds, and participating in the web of life that we are all part of. Help them out by turning off unused outdoor lights at night. Provide water for them during dry weather, and limit use of poisons on your land. Help songbirds to keep singing into the future and doing their important work that benefits us all.
Well, now we have a question from a listener. Linda, a bird watcher friend, has a question for us about songbirds. She wonders if birds are affected by our artificial lights at night, especially the songbirds that may be nesting in or near our homes where we have outdoor lights on at night. What do we know about how light affects birds at night?
We know artificial light at night affects birds during migration, disrupting their navigation and causing them to crash and die against brightly lit buildings. Changes in normal behavior patterns of eating, nest building, and other behaviors have been observed in many birds because of human disturbance. Geese and swans have increased restlessness, reduced sleep, and their actual physiology changes when exposed to artificial light at night.
There was a study named "It Pays to Sit Tight," published in the Zoological Science Journal this year, and it was done in Scotland on a common bird named the great tit. The study discovered a, quote, clear correlation between Q's clear correlation in the increase of night restlessness in nest boxes with exposure to artificial light at night. The report stated that nighttime incubation restlessness, quote, substantially affects hatching success and is in turn sensitive to environmental conditions, including artificial light at night.
The adult bird's restlessness affected the temperature regulation of the eggs. Egg temperatures were lower, affecting chick development and hatching. The chicks did not grow and develop normally after hatching when the brooding parent was disturbed during the night. Overall survival of the chicks was affected by as much as 60%. Awful.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, we never have thought of that, have we?
No.
These same birds were also more restless roosting at night in the winter when they were exposed to artificial light at night.
Another study done in 2021 showed that the effects of artificial light at night can be subtle, can differ due to spectral composition of light, which is the various wavelengths that are present in light, and can be year-dependent. These subtle alterations of natural behaviors might not have severe health consequences on the chicks in the short term. However, in the long term, that they could add up, negatively affecting parent health and survival, as well as their offspring survival and integration into the breeding population, especially in urban environments where more environmental pollutants are present.
Everything is connected in some way. Effects of what we do can be subtle, but the cost is high over time. I'm going to think more carefully about the noise and light I create at night around my home.
And I am too, Susan.
Well, some to think about and maybe pay a little attention to. We might all notice things we haven't noticed before. And now, I'm going to let you know that you are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
Today, we're talking with people from a unique place, the Sky Bar in Tucson, Arizona. Susan, you've made acquaintance with a magical person, the Star Tender. Not everyone meets a Star Tender.
That's true, but he and the other Star Tenders at the Sky Bar are there for anyone to join them exploring the night sky when you're in Tucson. It's a great place to go visit. It was fun to be there with the people in the bar and there were people walking on the sidewalk and just stopping in. So it wasn't just for the bar. They all came over and looked through the telescopes. Tourists, students, old and young, were lining up and asking questions and looking through the telescopes. So now it's time to meet Tony, who owns the bar, and the Star Tender at the Sky Bar. Hello, Carol. Hello, nightlife listeners. I'm in Tucson, Arizona, talking to you today on 4th Avenue, downtown Tucson, and I'm visiting with Tony Vaccaro, who owns the Sky Bar. We're going to talk about how astronomy and big cities and lighting and having fun in a really cool bar can all work together. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Thanks for having me speak with you.
And we're going to start by trying to explain to people in another part of the world how you came up with the idea of a sky bar.
Right. So I opened the Brooklyn Pizza Company in 1996, which is right next door to Sky Bar. And after about a decade of being in business, I was able to purchase the property I rented, which included a bar space next to it. And after that tenant left, I meditated and thought for many weeks on what I should do with that vacant space. And I had been enjoying the night skies in Tucson for 10 years. And I had an epiphany where the skies were dark enough where we could put in telescopes and solar panels and open an astronomy-themed bar. So Sky Bar is the only solar-powered cafe by day and astronomy bar by night. And it's dark enough here in Tucson to have telescopes and even do astrophotography at night. And a lot of that is due to the University of Arizona and the city, because the University of Arizona has one of the top optics department in the United States for astronomy. So I think they work with the city to make sure Tucson stays dark to allow for astronomy inside the city.
So do people from the university work with you with the telescopes here?
No, but they stop by. We have professors give lectures occasionally, and we do have some professional astronomers stop by, but typically it's our amateur astronomers who are here Friday and Saturday nights showing people how to use the telescope.
Yeah, so if I drop by, there's somebody here to show me what to do and what I can look at.
Yeah, so yeah, Friday, Saturday nights, someone will be here. Other nights, we have a telescope out that patrons can use without supervision. It's an easier scope to use. But yeah, I would say 80% of the, it's so clear here that 80% of the nights you can use a telescope to see the night skies. Mm-hmm.
Were you interested in astronomy otherwise before you made the bar?
Yeah, I got my first telescope in, I think it was fourth grade, and I've been infatuated with astronomy and telescopes and solar panels for pretty much my whole life.
That's just so cool. I noticed going in the bar, there's a big screen, and there's all kinds of gorgeous photos up on the screen of stars and planets, and I don't know what all you've got going there. Is that photography that was done here?
No, we used to have our photography posted on the screens, but we have not been doing as much astrophotography in the last 5 years. We've kind of shifted away from that because it was hard to maintain the camera on the roof, and we had a telescope and a camera on the roof, and it was difficult to maintain remotely. So we shifted to putting the telescope on the patio and allowing patrons to use their phones to take pictures. It's more hands-on. Mm. I think people like it more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the pictures you're seeing inside are from online.
Okay. I noticed on your website there's lots of pictures and all kinds of information. So I recommend people go to Skybar website and take a look at what's there. Now, I'll tell people who can't see this that we are right on 4th Avenue, which is a busy downtown street. We're in a patio right on the sidewalk, and this is where the astronomy is done. So that's saying something about how dark this street is at night.
Yeah, we've worked with the city and the Tucson Electric Power because they've installed a few lights that were problematic, and they've worked with us to dim them and shield them. So they've been very helpful as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you started this bar, did Tucson have the dark sky ordinances in place at that time? So that was already...
Yeah, it was already in place, and I don't know when that started, but it's been probably decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's 20 years or so. Yeah, yeah. What do patrons, customers here think about the telescopes? Is it something that a lot of people are interested in, or do you tend to get a select crowd here that looks for that kind of thing?
I think if people know about the telescopes, pretty much everyone is interested in looking, especially if the moon is out, because the moon is really beautiful and easy to look at. So I would say almost everybody's pretty fascinated with mm-hmm. it and loves to mm-hmm. come look at the telescopes.
Yeah, and you just leave them out all evening as long as people want to look through them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you tell us something about what type of sky objects you can see in downtown Tucson with the telescopes you have?
Yeah, so the best thing to look at is the moon because it's just so brilliant and beautiful. But we look at the planets. You can see the rings of Saturn really well. You can see moons of the planets really well. And seeing the rings of Saturn is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of fake at first, but it's real. And you can see, I think the plural is nebulae.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little less, there's a little less of a wow factor with those, but if you do photography with a really good camera right from here in downtown Tucson, you can get some amazing pictures with all the different colors that you see on professional websites.
Mm-hmm.
That's really beautiful, but that you need a special camera for.
So do you make a point of letting people know
what they can see when you have viewing nights? Like tonight, Jupiter's moons are really good to see. Do you help people out in that
way? Yeah, so we do have something on our website where we talk about what's visible each night, but unfortunately, we don't always maintain that as well as we'd like to because it's not the highest priority because running a business, there's a lot of other things going on. But we try to keep that updated, and when the astronomers are here Friday and Saturday night, they know exactly what is good to look at.
So the volunteers are, the astronomers are all volunteers?
No, no, we pay them.
Oh, you pay them.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're not people at the university. They're just...
No, they're amateur astronomers, which there's quite a big population of amateur astronomers in the world.
Yeah. So any plans for doing anything else here, or is this just so fun and successful, this is enough to just put the telescopes out?
I think we've bitten off a lot, and it's a lot to keep going on, and to make it, we need to perform, or we want to perform as best as we can, so adding more would be, I'd rather improve on what we're doing than add more at this time.
Yeah, and speaking of what you're doing, I noticed there's a corner when you come in the bar where all the telescopes are standing up, ready to go to work. Can you tell us a little bit, because we have a lot of amateur astronomers where we are. Tell us a little bit about what telescopes you have.
Yeah, so we have two Schmidt-Cassegrain telescopes. One's a Meade and the other's a Celestron. And those we only use with the astronomers because they're kind of hard. They're expensive and they're difficult to calibrate. So we've got those two. And then we have two Dobsonian telescopes, which are just big tubes with a mirror at the bottom. And those we put out when the astronomers aren't there because it's pretty easy for customers to use those on their own.
Yeah, we have those at home, too, that we use. So I think a lot of people will be familiar with what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, and I'd like to just skip just a little bit to the solar. Are you totally solar powered?
We are, but on some months we dip into the TEP a little bit because... we've added, so when we first got our solar, we have three waves of solar arrays. Each wave we became more and more independent. After the third array, we were fully independent. But then we've added some new things that require a good amount of electricity, like updated, well, new AC. So at this point, we still, on some months, we still use some electricity.
So that's been a big...
Oh, it's been wonderful.
Satisfying payoff for you to have that.
Huge payoff.
Yeah.
And it's also like I feel it inspires other people to maybe do the same.
Yeah, when you can see a business that's making it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're working on educating the community, all levels of the community in Wisconsin, Southwest Wisconsin. And we're looking for examples where people have done it long enough. You can say, I know what works and what doesn't work. So that's one of the things that really interested me here was your solar, that it's been here long enough. You know that
and
it's a good thing to have.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And they're not, these panels will last another, they're supposed to last at least 30 years. We've had them for over 15, and I think they'll go 50 years easily.
Yeah. You also don't have the ice and snow and things that might be hard on hailstorms, things that...
True, but we also have heat, and heat is difficult for the panels, both in their longevity, and also they actually start to produce less power when it's really hot.
Oh, really?
They like to be like maybe 75 degrees and sunny.
Okay, so there are things you have to work with no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I would like to do is I'm going to kind of walk through the bar and tell people what's in there.
Cool.
It's very fun and very cool. And I thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
And good luck with everything here.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Tony Vaccaro at the Sky Bar, and now I'm talking to the Sky Bar's star tender. And you are?
Kirk Wines.
And Kirk, how long have you been tending stars at the Sky Bar?
Started in July of 2023.
Oh, okay.
It's been almost 2 years.
Okay. And do you come here every week?
Weather permitting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we do this on Fridays and Saturdays from about 7 to 11:30.
Okay, and tell us what you have out here. You've got two telescopes out here now, and there's some more inside that you haven't unpacked yet tonight, too. So what are we looking at here tonight? There's a Celestron, and what do you show people with this?
Okay, well, the two telescopes, we have a 12-inch Dobsonian, totally manual user-operated telescope, and we also have a Celestron 8-inch Schmidt-Cassegrain, on a go-to mount, which allows us to select an object in a hand controller in the menu. We just select that object, and the scope will automatically slew and point itself mm-hmm. at what we want to observe and track it as the Earth rotates. Mm-hmm. So very little user intervention is required. We can just stay at the eyepiece and observe.
I think it's fascinating that we are on 4th Avenue in downtown Tucson on a Saturday night with all the nightlife here, and we are looking at planets and the moon and maybe some stars right here on the street. So how did you end up being in downtown Tucson doing astronomy when you could be out in the dark somewhere?
That's true. Well, I like to go for walks, and 4th Avenue is a very exciting, picturesque place to go walking. It's kind of retro, goes back to the 60s. Many interesting shops, a great place to people watch. So I would go for walks up and down 4th Avenue, and I discovered the Sky Bar, and our previous astronomer, Geronimo, who worked here some nights, and I started coming into the bar, and Geronimo would show me the sights of the sky, and he became familiar with me, and he kind of understood that I had some background in this subject. So one night, two Julys ago, I came in here and he showed me, I believe, Mars. And then I told him, well, I'll see you next week. And he told me he would not be here the next week because he had accepted another position, I believe, with the Stewart Observatory.
Oh.
But he encouraged me to apply for his position that he was leaving.
Uh-huh.
So I went into the bar and spoke to the manager. She gave me the owner's email address. I finished my walk first and went right home, and at 2 a.m., I sent the owner an email explaining who I was, what my background was, and the fact that I would like to be considered for Geronimo's position. 8 hours later, I received a response telling me to come down to 4th Avenue that afternoon. So I spoke to him and our other astronomer, Jana Becker, who works here when I'm not. Right now she does Fridays. And they thought I was up to the task, so they hired me right there on the spot, and I started that evening. So it was really one of the easiest job interviews I've had, and it's worked out very well. I love this position.
So there's some differences in looking at the dark sky here downtown. You can't see the whole Milky Way. There's faint objects you can't see here. But what are the highlights or the things that are really special with a midtown viewing site? What is special about being able to look at the sky here?
Well, we're lucky because Tucson, even though we're a large metropolitan area with over 800,000 people, we do make an effort to keep the stray light to a minimum. Tucson does have a lighting ordinance limiting how much illumination people can shine over their properties. It mandates that businesses have to turn off their signs when they close for the night. And so it's not so bad as it is in similar large metropolitan areas.
Yeah, it's very different.
that makes this possible. Mm-hmm. When I started in my position, I didn't expect to be able to see very much other than the moon and some of the major planets, but I was surprised. We do have excellent views of the Orion Nebula.
I was going to ask about that.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, I can show it to you pretty soon.
Yeah.
I was really surprised, but it's quite easy mm-hmm. to see the tendrils and dark areas and structure mm-hmm. of the Orion Nebula.
Great.
We can see the later on this year, the Ring Nebula.
Okay.
And various star clusters.
Mm-hmm. Like Pleiades and things like that would be beautiful.
Pleiades, yeah. M35, one of my favorites, the Shoebuckle Cluster. And we can even see globular clusters such as M13
uh-huh.
and even not the whole thing the way you can in somewhere dark, but we can see the core of the Andromeda Galaxy, 2.5 million light years away.
You can see that.
We can see
right
that
here in downtown Tucson.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you're seeing some good deep space objects.
We can see the brighter major deep sky objects.
Yeah,
yes.
All right. What else do you do when you're not at the Sky Bar? Where else do you do astronomy?
Well, I like to go out of the city. I have my favorite spot south of Kitt Peak, near the Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge. It's less than an hour drive away from here, but very dark, very convenient. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the things I see there. Sometimes I take my friends out there, and they're always awestruck by how dark and starry the sky is.
Now, next week, there's a lunar eclipse.
That's right.
Is that going to be something you're going to showcase here, or is that too late at night? Is the bar going to be open for that?
Well, the bar only has an astronomer here on Fridays and Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
The eclipse will occur Thursday night into Friday morning, so it's not...
We won't have somebody here.
We won't have somebody there, but believe me, I will be somewhere watching it.
Yeah, okay. So there's only a couple nights that people can
right.
look
Fridays
through the telescopes.
Fridays and Saturdays, weather permitting. Mm-hmm. The manager does take the 12-inch Dobsonian and put it on the patio the other nights of the week.
But
at that point, users are kind of left to themselves. Mm-hmm. We won't have an astronomer out here, but someone knowledgeable about astronomy and who understands how to use a telescope is more than welcome to use the Dobsonian for their own personal observation.
Are you ever so busy here you have all those telescopes out? Or do you
right
take
now,
them out, different ones for different purposes?
Right now, we only take the 8-inch and the 12-inch.
Uh-huh.
The others, you could think of them as backups.
Okay.
This is our baby, the 8-inch Celestron.
I see this at a number of astronomy events. This is a real popular telescope.
Very popular. It's small enough to be... wieldable. I mean, it's not some large thing that's just too large and heavy. And yet with the 8-inch aperture, it does see quite a bit. And this one has very good optics, very high contrast, and everything has that sharp snap focus. So it's a good scope.
Yeah, the Jupiter view and the Mars view, I could tell, were very very crisp optics.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is really exciting. I'm so glad to have discovered this. I've been in Tucson for a while, and I just found out about the Sky Bar. So it's been just very fun to talk to Tony and you, and I hope that you see lots of great stars here, because this is such a fun thing.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy it very much. It's wonderful being able to share this with all the customers. And as you've seen earlier, they get a thrill out of it.
They just are having a great time coming out here and looking
at
it. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm really glad you discovered us, and we'll share this with other listeners.
I will. And we'll talk to you again maybe someday.
Thank you.
Well, that was our little visit to a very unique place.
It sure was. And a very unique town. So, here we are.
Back in Wisconsin.
Back in Wisconsin. And that was a great interview with a star tender. I really enjoyed that. The traffic noise was a little bit loud in the background, but you know what? It really gave you a flavor for what it was like out on that sidewalk, talking to the star tender, but looking through the telescope and up at the night sky.
Yeah, that was that close to the traffic.
Well, that's our program for today. It's time to fly away with the songbirds to do our work in gardens and fields. I'm Carol.
And I'm Susan. We'll be back in June with another adventure. Remember, go outside and listen to the frogs.